You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, November 16th, and it's time to get our celebration on because the Steelers are 9-0. They crushed the Bengals. I'm just going to go over every aspect of this game that I can in the first segment. We're going to talk about the defense, the offense, what we like about that. Then in the second segment, I want to specifically talk about Ben. Because he was on fire. Is he an MVP candidate? All that in the second segment. And then the third segment, a look around. Because as the Steelers sit at 9-0, there's a lot of other teams that we thought that would be, you know, closer to them or seriously challenging them that either are or aren't. And I just think it's good to put perspective on things. So it's going to be a fun conversation today. Steelers fans, you got a great Victory Monday on your hands. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Let's get into it. Welcome back. It's Victory Monday. Can you say the Steelers are 9-0? They told us that they were going to be third place in the AFC North, y'all. Third place! They said they'd be lucky to get 9 or 10 wins. Guess what? They got 9 wins right now. I'm fired up because y'all heard me. Y'all heard how reserved I have been. Passionate, but reserved all offseason. As I sat there and I recorded these shows. Listen to these guys. I don't know, Chris. The Steelers might not be that good. Shut up. Get out of here. The Steelers beat, destroy, crush, humiliate. Is there an adjective I need to throw in here? An adverb? Whatever. The Steelers did everything they were supposed to do in this game, and they still could be better in their 36-10 win over the Cincinnati Bengals. Ben Roethlisberger, being Ben Roethlisberger, 27-46, 333 yards, 4 touchdowns. We're going to get to him in the second segment. I don't even need to bring him up to the fullest extent that I want to. But remember when I was talking, I forget who was it that I was talking to this week about who was the more complete receiving core? Because the Bengals had Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green. And T. Higgins. And I was like, why? The Steelers got Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, Chase Claypool, and James Washington. That's more complete to me. And we need to put his face on the side of a milk carton. Has anyone seen A.J. Green? Because he didn't catch a single pass in this game. Granted, he was targeted 5 times. That's because Joe Hayden was blanketing people out there. 3 pass breakups, 4 tackles. Shout out to Joe Hayden for a heck of a performance. But the Steelers receivers went to work. Their top 3 dudes showing up. Johnson, 6 catches, 116 yards, and a touchdown. He opened the game up with the first touchdown. There were times he looked shaky. He did drop a 3rd down pass that was tough early on. But he got it together. Juju Smith-Schuster doing Juju type things, catching the ball short of the first down, driving people for the first down, catching it in traffic, running through people, sticking with the play, being a top target for Ben Roethlisberger. He had 9 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. Oh, and the leading scorer for the game, Chase Claypool, 4 catches, 56 yards, 2 touchdowns. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Chase Claypool? I forgot his real name.
Mapletron.
Oh, just so y'all know, I never forgot about that sound effect. I just haven't been using it lately, but it's back. Yes, so Chase Claypool doing the doggone thing. 2 touchdown catches in this game. Mind you, that gives him 7 touchdown catches on the season. That's 5th most in the NFL of all receivers right now. And if you throw on his two rushing touchdowns, the only receiver with more touchdowns than him in the NFL is currently Tyreek Hill, who has 9 touchdown receptions and a touchdown rush. So, safe to say that the Steelers got it right when they picked him. I know that's kind of obvious right now, but, you know, some people still don't want to give the Steelers the props for what they've been doing this season. And I gotta say, Chase Claypool coming through big for his guys. But we gotta talk about the defense, because they came out in this game. The offense struggled early. They had problems. That's very real. In the first few possessions of this game, the offense came out, had 5 plays and a punt. They had 4 plays and a field goal, then a 3 and out with a punt, and then another field goal. I mean, it was rough in that first quarter. It was not looking good. But the defense made it okay, because in those drives, the defense forced 3 three and outs in a row, excuse me, and then in 2 fumbles. In the first quarter, they had 2 forced turnovers and 3 3 and outs. That's huge. That's ridiculously huge. And it gave the offense time to get their stuff together. And then they did. They scored a touchdown. Then they did give up a big touch, a touchdown early in the second quarter. Joe Burrow made a nice read on a throw where Cam Sutton kind of fell asleep. But then the defense locked it down for the rest of the game. And we can say, we can nitpick here and there about things that they're doing, but they played a great game. I mean, you look at the fact that the Bengals were 0-for-13 on third downs. 0% on third downs. And they were 2-for-3 on fourth downs. One they legitimately got. One was a fake punt at the end of the game when it was basically over. Also, I thought that was kind of a cheesy move, and it got Joe Burrow hurt up a little bit more. Charlie Batch, y'all know him, the former Steelers quarterback. He said on Twitter afterwards, he's like, I know Mike Tomlin, and he's going to remember that fake punt the next time that they play the Bengals. Because it was kind of like, dog, the game's over. Why are you trying to really do this right now? And it was a real, but either way, even with that fake punt and the other fourth down they got and the touchdown they gave up, the Steelers did what they were supposed to do in this game defensively. Joe Burrow felt the pain, 4 sacks for the team. I believe they had 9 quarterback hits on him, so he felt the presence. He felt all of it. They didn't pick him off, but Joe Hayden had 3 pass breakups, huge day for him. Tyson Lulu was back, looked solid. Cameron Sutton, though he did fall asleep in that one play, he had a tackle for loss, he had 4 tackles total, and he had a forced fumble for the 3rd week in a row. Gotta say, he's taken advantage of the chance that Mike Hilton's injury has given him. And we all appreciate Mike Hilton. We all are, you know of any program out there, Mike Hilton, you know, we are very supportive of him here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But Cam Sutton, he's making a case for himself, man. I mean, again, 3 games, 3 forced fumbles. 2 of them were game changers for the Steelers. In the Cowboys game, which they absolutely needed that forced fumble when he brought it. And in this game, where it was early on, and it helped buy the offense time to figure things out. Then, of course, TJ Watt, 2 sacks. What else can you say about TJ Watt? He's the man. I believe that gives him 9 on the season. He's averaging a sack a game right now. That's ridiculous. Speaking of averages, the 2 forced turnover by the Steelers in this game mean that they have 16. I'm sorry, 18 forced turnovers in 9 games. They are still on pace for 30 turnovers. And remember, our guy Tony Cirino for Tony Tuesdays, he bet before the season start, if the Steelers defense got 30 or more turnovers this season, he would get the Keith Butler jersey with the number of how many turnovers they got on the season. So they're right on pace for 30 right now. And again, they still get to play the Bengals again. They still get to play the Browns again. They still get to play Washington, the Jaguars, Philip Rivers, who's been a turbo machine himself, lots of opportunities there. Terrell Edmonds looks solid again, 8 tackles, no pass breakups, but just continues to look solid. You can't pick on him. Minkah Fitzpatrick, you know, no plays in the football, but the disguise that he had, one of TJ Watt's sacks was because of him. The Steelers lined up in a cover 2 look, and then Fitzpatrick drops down into the cover 1 robber role, while Edmonds drops back to the over top deep cover 1 role. And when Fitzpatrick jumps down, he takes away Burrow's first option. Burrow has to freeze for a second, and that gives TJ Watt all the time he needs to get the sack. But Dupree got a sack in this game. Robert Spillane got a sack in this game. All around, this was the performance you wanted to see from your Steelers. Yes, you wanted to see them score faster. You wanted to see them run the ball because there wasn't a ground game. Connor only had 36 yards. It's the third straight game they haven't rushed for 50 yards. And that is, you know, a little concerning. But I do think it's something that they can fix. They fixed a lot of things this season. Remember, people were saying that the passing game wasn't all together early on. Remember, they were saying the pass defense wasn't all together early on. They fixed those things. I really think the Steelers, they continue to prove that they're a special group. And people that want to play that off, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. And I know it ain't y'all. Y'all Steelers fans. Y'all been here. Y'all been riding. We ride at dawn here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But this was a complete win. People were saying, oh, when's the last time the Steelers had a complete win? Well, right here. And the Browns game. Sure, they could have played better against the Cowboys. Sure, they could have put the Broncos and the Texans away earlier. But the thing is that even in those games when they were facing struggles, they found ways to mitigate those other struggles with the other strengths that they have on the team. The thing is, they have so many strengths. And they continue to show them week in and week out. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll be talking about probably the biggest strength they have right now, and that's their quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Right after this. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's talk about Ben, y'all. Because of all the things we can be excited about in this game, he's right at the top of the list. He throws, again, 27 to 46, 333 yards, no sacks, no interceptions, no fumbles, 4 touchdown passes. Yowza. That's a heck of a night. And it was also a rainy, chilly, windy day. I could tell you, I'm in Pittsburgh. I lost my power 3 times during the game. So, and I lost it because of the wind. And let me tell you, when it's whipping in Pittsburgh, it whips. But right now, Ben Roethlisberger, he is tied. No, he solely has the 5th most touchdown passes as I'm recording this right now in the NFL with 22 and only 4 interceptions on the season. 22-4. The only people ahead of him are Tom Brady with 23 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes, who has 25 touchdowns and 1 interception. Okay, yeah, that's really scary. Aaron Rodgers, 26 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. And Russell Wilson, who leads the NFL with 28 touchdowns but 10 interceptions. Ben's putting it together. And remember, y'all remember back in when I was doing those AFC North crossover division specials, we were talking to the entire division during the offseason and how I was saying, I think the Steelers have a chance to win the division this year. And they were like, with Ben Roethlisberger? Yeah, how's that working out? Remember when they said the Steelers were going to be 3rd in division? That it was the Ravens division to lose? The Browns division? That they were going to make a push? And here we are. We are 9 games into the Steelers season. And they already have a winning record because they're 9-0. And Ben Roethlisberger, you could say he's the MVP of the team. He's making a case for MVP of the NFL. Especially when you have 3 straight games with less than 100 or less than 50 yards on the ground. And you're still able to put up numbers. And these were big games. They're fighting for They're fighting for that one seed in the playoffs because that's the only seed that gets a playoff bye this year. And in those games, again, where they had less than 50 yards on the ground, the team scored 27 on the road against the Titans, who were undefeated, 28 on the road against the Ravens, who were coming off a bye and were the number one scoring defense in the NFL, 24 against the Cowboys, and now 36 at home. And oh, by the way, those were three straight away games, by the way. And then now 36 at home against the Bengals. That's putting up points regardless of whatever obstacles are in your way. Now, granted, you could probably take the Titans off that resume because he threw three picks in that one, though. They weren't all, like, egregious picks. It was just, hey, you know, that the bad things happen. That's okay. You live with that one. But Ravens, Cowboys, Bengals, no doubt he's the MVP of those games. And again, you look throughout the season, where's the week that you're looking at that you're like, man, Ben really let the team down? He hasn't, and that's been a big reason why they won. Now, if I remember correctly, there were people during the offseason and even during the season, whether it was that PFF Sam guy or who was the guy that used to be the Jets GM that was on ESPN, and he said Ben Roethlisberger was the worst quarterback in the AFC North or something like that. But I remember the sentiment coming out, and I think it was Derek Workman, who's in our Locked On Steelers Facebook group. He pointed out, he was like, you know, we heard the thing, you know, Steelers fans would trade Ben Roethlisberger with any of the other quarterbacks in the division, and the Steelers might be a better team with Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or even Baker Mayfield, which is just a joke. So I was like, okay, let's pose a poll. So I put up a poll in the Locked On Steelers Facebook group, which again has over 830 other Steelers fans in it, including myself, including people who come on this show regularly, like Tony Serino, Jenna Harner, D9 Pietro, Hunter Homestek, Adam Crowley, Wesley Euler. We're all in there. Josh Taylor, too. But we're all in there, and so you can join it yourself at any point in time. Just go to Facebook, search for Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. You'll be in there. And I posed a poll on Sunday evening. Who would Steelers fans rather have right now for the rest of the season at quarterback? And I said Joe Burrow, who received one vote. I said Lamar Jackson, who received no votes. I said Baker, I can't even, who received no votes. Some people added their own answers. There were two people who voted for Tom Brady, two people that voted for Uncle Rico, two people who voted for the Duck, as in Devlin Hodges, two people that voted for Colin Kaepernick, and 115 people that voted for Ben goddamn Roethlisberger. I think you get my point. Ben Roethlisberger's doing all the things right. His elbow's healthy. He hit the deep ball, which all we heard was he couldn't hit the deep ball. He couldn't hit the deep ball. When's Ben going to hit the deep ball? He's never going to hit the deep ball. 46-yarder to Deontay Johnson. He's a bad man. And the thing is that he don't even need the deep ball right now. He's performing like a surgeon, cutting people up, to saying, hey, we're coming out and throwing the ball. No running backs in the backfield. You know I'm going to the air, and you still can't stop me. Because he's picking at the weaknesses of defenses. He's recognizing where defenses are soft, and he's attacking them. And that's the Ben Roethlisberger we've been waiting for. For years, I think when he knew he had the luxury of a big play wide receiver like Antonio Brown, he would just say, you know what? He's going to catch this. Go get it, AB. Now, I think that a year off has kind of allowed him to reevaluate how he needs to see this game. It's given him time to rethink his approach. And now, he's playing extremely well. And he played extremely well before. He was the first ballot Hall of Famer before. But if he takes this team to the Super Bowl and wins at the rate that he's playing, in my opinion, it's going to elevate his status even further. And if he sticks around for a few more years and keeps doing that, it's going to change the entire outlook of who Ben Roethlisberger has been for the Steelers. Because honestly, I've always thought that Ben Roethlisberger is a great quarterback, but I thought that sometimes he was also the biggest hindrance the team had because they needed him to be a better field commander. Because there were times where there were wide open plays that he just didn't see. And you lived with it because he was a gunslinger that would make the tough throws, make the tough plays, keep plays alive. And you were just like, you know what, that's just who he is. But now he's making those gunslinger type of plays, but also taking the very easy ones that are right in front of him. And that's what makes this team so hard to beat right now. On top of having a great defense. On top of having several playmaking wide receivers. And as struggling as the offensive line is on the Steelers run game, we'll get into the run game later this week on the show. As struggling it is there in the run game, they are protecting him well. They are picking up blitzes. Their assignments are there. I think that the run game is just a fatigue thing. I think it's going to come back at some point. We've seen them go through slumps like this before. I wrote about it for DKPittsburghSports.com last week in my Carter's Classroom column. That can rebound. And the crazy thing is, again, when you look at this Bengals game, we can all agree they didn't even play their best because they didn't come out and put up two touchdowns early on in the game. This defense is still getting better. This offense is still cleaning things up. And they're blowing people out by 26 points. I think it's a further sign that this team is truly special. And they're headed in the right direction to be a supreme power in the NFL. Regardless of what anyone thinks of their actual talent or what class they're in, because Howie Long of the Fox on NFL pregame show said the Steelers aren't even in the same class as the Chiefs. Okay, that's fine. You keep thinking that. Meanwhile, the Steelers are 9-0. But there's other teams that played this weekend that kind of brought some funny thoughts to my head about what class the Steelers are in for this week and for this season. We'll get into that, looking around the league at what else happened in the NFL games and where the Steelers actually fit into this big puzzle that is the NFL after the break. But before we do, we got to talk to you about our great friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious person and helps someone lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat during the day. Built Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, but high-protein and high-fiber, and they're great for a keto diet. Instead of when you're tired and hungry at work and you need a boost to get through the day, instead of going to the vending machine and getting those cupcakes, or those Pop-Tarts, or those potato chips, get something healthy like a Built Bar. It'll fill you up, taste great, and get you through the rest of your day with the energy that you need. And Built Bar comes in 18 amazing different flavors. Six of those new flavors are Caramel Brownie, Cookies and Cream, Cherry Barcia, Lemon Almond Cheesecake, Carrot Cake, and Apple Almond Crisp. You can get all those flavors by going to their website right now at BuiltBar.com. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, it's your host Chris Carter. Now, y'all know the theme we've been hearing for weeks, right? That when the Steelers were barely beating bad teams like the Cowboys, like the Broncos, like the Texans. Oh man, the Steelers, they only beat them by one possession. They must really stink. When they play a real team, they're going to be in trouble. And every chance that the Steelers didn't, you know, play a 100% perfect game with no mistakes, we saw people in the local media get on them, people in the national media get on them, people just on social media get on them. I mean, after they beat the Ravens in their house, in Baltimore, after Baltimore got a bye week, after the Steelers came off a huge road win against an undefeated team, the Steelers beat them in their house with all that going the Ravens for them. And Marcus Spears and Mina Kimes and the folks on NFL Live on ESPN, and I love their show. They do great work. But they had the nerve to say, you know what? The Steelers are still the third best team in the AFC. What crack are you smoking? Are you out of your mind? Well, the Steelers, they're just not beating the teams they need to beat the way they need to beat them, even though they are beating them because they're 9-0. And I said this whole time, I'm like, dude, if you watch the NFL, do you know how many games come down to a single possession in the NFL? Do you know how many games are extremely close? One or two possessions often decide a game. For example, this weekend, of the games that were played, Texans-Browns, Washington-Detroit, Jaguars-Packers, Bills-Cardinals, Chargers-Dolphins, Seahawks-Rams, and Ravens-Patriots. Those are all the one-possession games this week. And it happens every week. You can go every week and you can find so many games that, I mean, again, when you watch direct, if you have DirecTV Sunday Ticket, you can bounce around between the games. You realize how every team has these games. Because they're all professionals. This isn't like college football where Alabama gets to beat up on the Citadel for 50 points and be like, ah, yeah, they're clearly better. It's not like that. Everyone has the same competitive chances to make the draft picks they need to make. If you stink, you get a high pick. If you're good, you get a low pick. And then you they try to balance it out. That's how this league works. And there's teams that struggle. There's good teams that struggle with bad teams every week. The Packers. They're at home against the Jaguars. They were 6-2 coming into this game. Jaguars 1-7. Went down to the wire. And you could point, you could point to all the different weaknesses that the Packers have. But why? They're 7-2. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. The Chiefs last week, they're on a bye this week. They didn't play. The Chiefs last week, they had a 3-win Panthers team in their house in Kansas City. They barely beat them by 2 points. 2 points. That's it. There wasn't any talk about the Chiefs. Oh, man, the Chiefs really stink. They need to do a lot better, because if they don't do a lot better, they're gonna lose to those other teams out there, even though the Chiefs have already lost to the Raiders. Buccaneers getting shellacked last week by the Saints. Now, they rebounded this week against the Panthers. I didn't think that they would. I thought the Panthers might sneak them. But still, you're talking to me like the Steelers are the only team that struggle with quote-unquote bad teams. And the piece de resistance of this entire situation is that the Ravens just lost on Sunday Night Football to the Patriots. The same Patriots who we thought were a joke. They were 3-5 going into that game. Ravens were 6-2. This was supposed to be a cakewalk for the Ravens. Yes, there was a storm there, but guess what? There's a storm every season for somebody. Steelers were going through their thing. Like I said, the wind was whipping. Power was getting knocked out. All the things were happening. Didn't stop them. And the storm didn't help Damian Harris for the Patriots run for 121 yards right over that Ravens defense. Cam Newton seemed to be able to figure his way out through it. He ran for 21 yards and a touchdown, and then threw for 118 yards and another touchdown. Heck, he even had Jacoby Myers, a receiver for the Patriots, throw a 24-yard rainbow of a pass for a touchdown. And the Ravens lost to a team they were supposed to beat. And now, again, if the Ravens are supposed to be in this class ahead of the Steelers, they're 6-3. I do believe they still have to play the Titans, the team that knocked them out the playoffs last year. They still have to come to Pittsburgh to play on Thanksgiving night on a short week. This is no easy situation right now for the Ravens. And in fact, they have to play the Titans next week. And after playing the Titans, then they play the Steelers. The Steelers are coming off of a road game against the Jaguars. This is do or die time very soon for the Ravens, because the Steelers are 9-0. And you look at the Steelers' next opponents, what? They have the Jaguars. Again, you can't overlook anybody. It's the NFL. But they've got the 1-8 Jaguars. If you're the Ravens, you can't afford to think that they're going to lose that game. After they play the Ravens, the Steelers got the Washington football team at Heinz Field. A 2-7 team. After that, the Steelers got the Bills on the road. Now, that's a place where the Ravens could make ground. They play the Browns that week, though, and the Browns want their revenge after the utter destruction that they had. And it's funny, the Browns are 6-3. They're quietly 6-3, sitting right there with the Ravens. The Ravens are in jeopardy of falling into third place if they're not careful. And then after that, the Steelers play the Bengals on the road, which it occurred to me that the Steelers have now beaten the Bengals 10 straight times in the regular season. Now, I tweeted this out as well. According to Mortal Kombat rules, when you beat someone 10 times, like when the Shao Kahn world or whatever, Outworld, wherever, if you win 10 times, you can then invade Earthrealm or whatever. So according to the Mortal Kombat rules, Pittsburgh can now just invade and take all of Cincinnati because they've beaten them 10 times in a row. That's ridiculous. And really, it's 11 times when you consider the playoffs, but we'll just take the 10 and call it a day. But again, the Steelers got them left on the schedule. So the Ravens, you can't afford to lose too many more games. Because the Steelers have got what? 7 games left? And I mean, both of them got 7 games left. And you're 3 games back. And you got to play the Steelers again. If you lose to the Steelers, it's a wrap. Because then you're going to be 4 games. You're really going to be 5 games behind. Because the tiebreaker means that if you tie them, you still have to get past them. So, I mean, we're looking at a situation where the Steelers could beat the Ravens. And that would give them the 5-game advantage. The Steelers could beat the Ravens and win 2 more games. And if one of them is the Browns, I mean, they could clinch the division with technically 3 more wins if they're the right wins of the last 7 games. They could really finish this season 3-4, go 12-4, and have a good shot at clinching the division. Now, of course, they also want to beat the Chiefs off. Phrasing Carter! They want to beat the Chiefs to the number 1 seed. But they want to, and so that's going to be in their rearview mirror as well. But the point is that the Steelers have positioned themselves well. This is what happens when you're winning even while you're not playing your best football. And that's why I still say this team is the best team in football right now. And I mean that. If you listen to me on the Thursday edition of the Locked On NFL podcast, the national version of this whole network, I do the regular Thursday show with Ryan Tracy, who's the Locked On Chiefs guy. We both always, you know, do it on Thursdays, and we're doing our AFC power rankings, and he lists the Chiefs at number 1. I lifted the Steelers at number 1. I wasn't backing down from him. And I think the Chiefs are a heck of a team. I think Patrick Mahomes is still the most dangerous man in the NFL. But I look at this team and I say, man, the Steelers got more answers across the board than the Chiefs. And the way Ben is playing, I mean, I'm not saying he is as good as Patrick Mahomes right now, but I'm saying that he can be closer to Patrick Mahomes than the Chiefs defense can be to the Steelers defense. And I think that's where the Steelers can make up some serious ground against the Chiefs compared to where everyone thinks everyone's at. And again, the Chiefs, they've already lost once this season. So the Ravens losing this weekend was hilarious, and it really puts them on watch. If they lose a game that's not even to the Steelers moving forward, I mean, they risk losing the complete, any shot that they have at the division. And if the Steelers win the AFC North, it'll be their first time in 3 years. It'll guarantee them, home playoff games. And it'll be a complete, vindication, or I guess a complete, just a reminder to everyone, hey, the reason that they didn't do well last year is because their quarterback got hurt. I think it says all you need to say. Your Steelers are 9-0. Talk trash like they are. Feel good like they are. Enjoy it like they are. Don't be trying to stress out and worry about what all these other people, what about this, what about that, what about the running game? Shh. Enjoy this. It's fun. You got to look at a laugher for most of Sunday. Now they get to go on the road against a 1-win team, and I know you're probably going to be thinking, oh, it's the Jaguars, they historically play stuff. Take it one step at a time. That's what the Steelers are doing. That's what Mike Tomlin does. That's what Ben Roethlisberger's doing. Follow their lead. They got the right idea. I'm going to follow their lead and take it one step at a time because that's the end of today's show. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. As always, subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. As you can, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Doing so really helps the program. It really helps get the word out there what they're doing. And if you leave us a 5-star review with a positive comment, doing so will get you a shout out at the end of the show. Like this person here who says, no spin zone, who gave us this 5-star review. It says, excellent blend of old and new media. He says, I've submitted a review before, but I wanted to follow up with another 5-star rating for the Wednesday shows featuring Dean Iampietro, producer at WPXI, and former host Tony Serino. It's captivating podcasting, and the three are very knowledgeable professionals, but I really have come to love the Friday episodes with Chris and Jenna Harner. This is my favorite pick'em show about the NFL, including anything about the NFL Network and the ESPN offers up. Great chemistry between them, and Jenna is a heck of a prognosticator. She nailed the Ravens score perfectly, and she did. Shout out to Jenna Harner. Chris, keep up the great work. No spin zone. Thank you so much. We have other 5-star reviews. We will read them as the week goes on, so that we don't put them all in the one show. But thank you, No Spin Zone, for your 5-star review. Again, you can get yours shouted out at the end of the show with leaving one on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much to everyone who does that. Remember to join the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Go to Facebook, search for Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. Also, if you like my work here, you can enjoy my work at dkpittsburghsports.com, where I write about both the Steelers and the University of Pittsburgh on there. You can subscribe there for just $4.99 a month or $39.99 for a full year subscription. But we cover the Steelers, the Pirates, the Penguins, Pitt, Penn State, and Duquesne, all of that right on our website. Go check that out at any point in time. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow for a Tony Tuesday with Tony Serino. It's going to be a fun one. Tony's probably got a lot to say about Ben Roethlisberger and wearing that chef hat to his because he wants to let Ben cook. Thanks for listening, y'all. Be back in years tomorrow.